That's like our life. It's like a vapor. That's what the Bible teaches us. Jesus talked about, you know, you look at the flowers, how they spring up and how they bloom. They come to that peak and then they fade away. He says, such is a flesh. Our life is like a flower. It grows up, it blooms, we hit our peak, and then we come down. See, that's the outward man. See, that's the outward body. But on the inside, see, that is that flower springs up. It has its seed that remains on the inside, and it releases it back into the earth. See, what's on the inside of us is the Word of God. It's the living seed on the inside of us, that though our body, like Paul said, the outward man is perishing, the inward man, that born-again man, and it's neither male nor female, but it's renewed day by day. That's the life of God living on the inside of us. Well, let's bring that on over into your offering this morning. See, the Word of God is an incorruptible seed. It can't be destroyed. It can't be, there's no decay in it. There's life, God's kind of life in His Word. And it shall remain. This earth's going to destroy. It's going to be destroyed by fire one day. The heavens are going to be rolled up like a scroll. But thy word shall remain. That word's on the inside of you. So see, that's why that body's got to be changed. Because, see, you're going to exist. We're going to exist. The lost are even going to exist. But they're not going to have the body that we're going to have. Unless they receive Jesus. Because that's the only way back to the Father, to back to that relationship, back to that glorious body, is through His life that He gave us. And that's what the Bible teaches us. And as we get ready to give this morning, I'd like to take us to the book of Matthew. And then the message, we're going to get back in, still in the divine guidance. But in Matthew chapter 13, because your finances is important to God. Because He knows we need it down here on this earth to live the abundant life that He has given us. So it's important to Him. It was so important that Jesus taught about it, spoke about it. And I get to do the same thing. See, before Christ, before He came into my life, my philosophy, you know, philosophy is just a way of thinking. Before Christ came in, you know, me and my wife, we were married. But I didn't have no goal. I mean, I didn't know what a goal was. A goal to me was, back in high school when I played football, you make it to the goal line. My goal, it was just day by day. Because I had no hope. I had no future. I had no life. That God kind of life on the inside of me. So what did I do? I looked to what other people were doing. I said, to my family, to my brothers, to my sisters, you grow up, you get a job, you get married, you have kids, and you die. I mean, that was my philosophy. That was my way of thinking. There's a lot of people in the world, that's the way they think. That's just, some people think that you die and you come back as a cow or whatever. I mean, reincarnation, depending on how you lived your life, you come back as something, an animal. I wasn't that far lost. Amen. I wasn't that far gone. But we could head that way, because without God, you'll go from not from glory to glory. You'll go from darkness to darkness to darkness. But Jesus, the light of the world, shone in our hearts, shone in our life, and came in. And when He came in, He changed things. He changed me. He changed her. He changed us. He changed our future. Now I had a goal. I had a hope. And it involves your finances. Amen? Because usually, before then, I was sucked into the world's way of living, which is debt. Whatever you want, get it now. Don't wait. Just go. If you ain't got the money, go to the banker. He'll give you the money, and you can pay him interest. Don't want to talk about the interest. They want to talk about, what do you know? What do you need? We got what you need. We got the ability to get it to you. They didn't tell you about that fine print. Matthew 13, 1 through 13. I'm going to read this quickly here. It says, talking about the sower. On the same day as Jesus was out teaching, he went out on the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood there on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables. Something he made illustrations, made stories. Saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the ground by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some sowed seed, and they fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth. And immediately they sprang up, but because of no depth. But when the sun came up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and it choked them. But others fell on good ground. Y'all might start getting happy right now. But others fell on good ground. Talk about the seed. And it yielded a crop. Some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now here's what I want you to hear this morning. Number 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak these things in parables, Jesus, Lord? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you, and I'm pointing to you this morning, like Jesus was pointing to them. He says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries, hidden things of the kingdom of God or heaven, but to them it has not been given. Given what? Verse 12, for whoever has what? Has ears to hear. That's what Jesus is saying. See, they wasn't hearing what he said. They were there, but they were thinking about next week. They were thinking about what they're doing 10 minutes from then. They wasn't listening. They didn't have ears to hear. They didn't believe what they were hearing. But those, let me go on. For whoever has those ears to hear, to him will be more given. You need to get happy there right now. For whoever has ears to hear what Jesus said, not just here, but through the whole Word of God, what his word is saying. To him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But, here's the but whoever does not have, what? Ears to hear, even what he has will be taken away. Wow, look at there. Because see, they don't have the wisdom of God. See, I didn't have wisdom before I came to Christ. I was living the way the world was living, and I didn't have these ears. And it was being taken away. Even what I had, what I was doing with my hands, that's the curse working in my life. You sow, you work, and you don't have nothing to show for it. Because of this, of the natural spiritual law, but also the natural law working in the earth. If you take what you have, but you got to get born again. You got to believe. You got to be in the kingdom of God to reap the benefits of God, right? Say, I'm rich. Forget the money. Don't look at the money. Say, that has nothing to do with you being rich. Being rich is having all the abundant supply you need. Didn't even mention finances, but I like to say it's included. Because, see, we are not those that don't have ears. We have ears to hear. We know and we can see and operate into the mysteries, the kingdom of God. See, that's the mystery. That's the gospel that Jesus was preaching. This, our treasure is not in earthen vessels. It's laid up in heaven in Christ Jesus. It's in the kingdom of God. And when we put our trust in him and then sow into that kingdom, we can't see it. But what it is we sow into the kingdom with our finances, God sees that. So he sees your heart. And he's able to bless you with motorcycles that you can enjoy to ride. Because, see, he's looking at our heart. And, see, God wants us to have all these good things, but then display him in them. Amen. Give him glory in all that we have. And take care of the poor. Look after your widows. And enjoy this life that he's given us. Amen. So it's more blessed to give. I'd say to give to God's work. See, when we give to God's work, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. But we got a part to do. We sow the seed, but the devil's always there trying to bring up the grass and the weeds and the thorns. So Jesus told him how to handle him speak to him. Command, you know, he has no part in the kingdom, right? So we have to keep him out of our garden, right? And once we sow the seed, we got to keep him out. Keep Jesus in, keep the devil out. Let's stand this morning and sow into the kingdom this morning. Knowing that you know all mysteries because the greater one lives on the inside of us. And he's going to show you things and reveal things to from your spirit to your mind so you'll be able to walk in the blessings of the Lord. But he needs our willingness and he needs our heart. He actually needs our life. He talks about lay your life down. Jesus laid his life down. He laid his will down and did what the Father needed him to do and then reaped us as a harvest. We might not have but 30 in here today, but we're looking for 100, right? That hundredfold return, right? So God's looking for the hundredfold. He wants everybody in, but sometimes he's seeing 30 and sometimes he's seeing 60. But he's just thankful some's coming in. He wants the whole lot, but he knows he's not going to override anybody's will. He's going to send the preachers, the teachers. He's going to send you out into the world to reap the harvest, to speak life. All those that will receive it will come in, and those that have ears that don't have ears, they won't. But we continue to preach that good news, the gospel. Amen. This is what it's about. This is how you get ahead down here, is you go to your knees. You go to the Lord, and that's how you get ahead. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for your people that have heard the word. Lord, they have ears to hear this morning, Father. So we thank you right now, Father, for their finances as they sow into the kingdom of God, that we bind the devil right now. He won't come and steal the word from us. He won't come steal our blessing, that he is underneath our feet right now in the name of Jesus. And as we sow our seed, Father, we're looking for the hundredfold return back into our life. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, there's 100. Good measure, 30. Pressed down, there's 60. Running over, there's the hundredfold. So we receive that right now, Father God. Not just this offering, but the seeds that they have sown in their past, Lord, we command. Lord, you are the resurrection and the life. We speak resurrection power to those seeds that are not bringing forth, Lord. If we messed up somewhere and didn't believe you for it, Father, we ask for forgiveness. But we command those seeds, that harvest, to come alive right now, to bring forth fruit back into our lives so we can go out here and do a greater work for you, Lord, that you said we could do. We thank you for that, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this church, for the people. Father, we thank you, Lord, that they're coming in. Those are coming in that are lost, Lord, so they can get saved. Those that are confused so they can have the author of life speak life to them, Father. For the ministry gifts right now, we call them in from the north, south, east, and the west. Those that have a heart, Lord, for your and a passion to do your work, Lord. This is the place. This is your house. And we thank you right now for filling it, Lord, with your people that have a heart and hunger for the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bring your offerings this morning. Thank the Lord for his goodness. And I'm not losing it. All right, let's get back into the message that it's been a continual, it's turned into a series, but that's all right. Talking about divine guidance, and if you've been born again, which I know you have, and serving God, you're serving the one who knows the end from the beginning, and the beginning from the end. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. And we're right there in all that because we're in him. We're in Christ. Now, he's not going to show us the total end from the beginning in our life because if we did, we wouldn't have to operate by faith. Right? If you knew what was going to happen, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning, you'd sleep to about 8:45. If you knew what was happening at 9 o'clock. You know, you just stay in there, okay, I'm going to get, this is going to happen at 9. So there wouldn't be no faith involved. See, God's a God of faith. And we walk by faith. We live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So in that, we need to serve, we need to know the God of faith. Because he speaks things by faith. And then they happen. Light be, light became. And then he didn't create the sun and the moon until days later. But something that light that he created was life. He spoke life. He's still speaking life. And he's speaking, we've been talking about the shepherd, knowing him, knowing his voice, hearing his voice, and then how do we connect to that voice? So this week, week six, I'm going to discuss a little bit about how God guides us. We know who it is that's guiding us. It's Jesus. He's a shepherd. He sent us the Holy Spirit. We talked about the Holy Spirit and you know, you're a three-part me. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in this body. That spirit is the real you, that born-again spirit that is back in relationship with God. That's who you are now. That old man, that old sin man, he tries to resurrect every now and again, but you got to keep him in the grave. You got to roll that stone over on him and keep him in there. See, Jesus rolled the stone away and came out of the grave. We don't need to get back in, right? There's a one way out of that place, and do not enter. So he put a do not enter sign back on. Don't go back in the grave. He didn't, and he's not. And he don't want us going there either. So the first method, and there's a couple methods here, but I like to say the number one, the primary way that God is going to, that God leads his children is by the inward witness. By the inward witness. Now what is that? Romans 8, verses 14 through 16. And we talked about this. The Spirit of God. And see, that's what you got to understand. Once you get born again, you're a new creation. You have your born again spirit, the real you. But you have another spirit living on the inside of you. It's called the Holy Spirit. See, he's took up residency, and he's the one that created your reborn, your spirit. He made it new from the beginning like God had intended it to be. So now he's right there with you. Two spirits, Holy Spirit and your spirit, living in this one body. That's the way it was created in the beginning, God with us. Emmanuel, he was inside us. We were created in his image, right? His spirit was on the inside of man, covering man. He was our glory. The glory of God covered man before sin. Jesus veiled that glory on the inside of him and took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain and revealed it to them. The transfiguration. With that same glory, if we could pull our flesh back, if you're born again, that same glory is on the inside of us. Trying to get out. Amen. It's there. It's a spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's there, and he's holy. Amen? Romans 8, 14, 16. What am I doing over here? Get over here, Robert. In chapter 8. Verse 12 says, therefore, Romans 8, 12, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We don't want to be flesh-led. As sons of God, we are Spirit-led. And see, that's the primary way. The primary way God leads us is by that Spirit, that inward witness, the Holy Spirit. That witness is not something I can, it's an intellect, it's a knowing. I talked about this weeks back, how does Colette know Larry? Well, she's been with him a while, a few years. 30 plus? 45, 40, well, excuse me, I took off 10. She's in that 60-fold, she's pushing toward that 60-fold. She's in the 60-fold return. But see, there's a knowing there. Colette knows Larry. Adam knew Eve. It's the knowing. Spending time with somebody, you know them. You know what they're going to do next. You know how they're going to. You can just know what they're going to do. That's the inward witness of God, the Holy Spirit, and it's his word. It's a comfortable feeling. The inward witness. It's a feeling of peace. Jesus, you know, when he was asleep in the boat and the storm was raging, he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. He spoke peace, shalom, to them. That's the peace. That's the inward witness. This knowing. And we could say a perception. But when I say a perception, it's not a thinking, it's just a intuition. I used to hear that a lot before I got born again. You had this intuition. You just knew something. They could about go hand in hand, your perception, your intuition. That's being led by the Spirit of God, by that inward witness. In the Old Testament, we can remember Gideon, he put out a fleece before the Lord. We put out fleeces. Well, see, you can link that, just say fleeces are fleshly. Fleeces, flesh. You're being led by the flesh. That's not the way the inward witness. That's not the way God's going to lead us. It's not by fleeces. See, that's an outward sign. You're looking for something outward to happen and know that's God. God is a spirit. And those that worship Him, we've got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Things we can't see, but we know. Just like we can't hear, but we hear. We don't hear with these ears. We hear with, that's what Jesus was saying. Those that have ears to hear of what He was saying and believe it, you're going to, whatever you have, you're going to have more. And whatever you give, you're going to have more. Because you're believing in something that you can't see. You're believing in a God you can't see, but you know Him. So we're not to be guided by fleeces, outward signs, because that's the flesh. You get into that, you're getting into the devil's territory, to the enemy's territory, because that's how he wants to lead you, is get you in confusion, get you in the flesh, and then get you out of the blessings of God. He wants to get you out of the promised land back to the wilderness where you're waiting for miracles. See, we want to go from miracles to walking in the blessings. Amen. I mean, if you need a miracle, fine, but God wants you to be blessed and walking in the blessings, in the fullness of the blessing. That's where He wants to take His people. And that's where He wants to take you. Let's read Judges, talking about the flesh. Let's go to Judges in the Old Testament. Everybody say Old Testament. You like something old or you like something new? Huh? Both? Somebody say both. Old and new. That's good. That's a good answer. Judges 6, verses 36 through 40. So Gideon said to God, how many times do we see that in the Bible? If you will, if you be the Son of God, if you can, what would Jesus always say? No, if you can. No, if you will. So here's Gideon, God, if. See, we're already in the flesh. If you're in the iffy, you're in the flesh, right? Because if he's in the flesh. Knowing is in the spirit. If is in the flesh. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by the hand, is it God's will that none perish? So see, Gideon didn't know that God wanted to save everybody. So you got to know that it's God's will that everybody. So that will determine how you're led and how you treat other people. Right? We're supposed to love all men. Now just because, you know, if they're doing something bad, you know, we don't stand there and take it, but we're still to love. That doesn't mean we have to like what they're doing, but we got to love that person and hopefully say something that's going to maybe change. Because we got to have a God, one of them God encounter moments, right? We're going to be the ones that's going to bring Him. Because we got God on the inside, right? If you will save Israel by the hand, by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece. So where is Gideon to tell God what, how, God, how, this is how you need to run your business. This is what Gideon's saying. Look, I'll put out a fleece of wool on the threshing floor, and if there's dew on the fleece only, and it's dry on all the ground around, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so, when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung out the dew and the fleece and a bowl full of water. There's exceedingly abundantly above all that he could ask. He just didn't. He wrung out a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. No, I'm sorry. It sounds like Abraham. And when Abraham said, if you'll save Lot, if it be 10 right, 50 righteous, Lord, don't be angry. He got him all the way down to 10. And it was so, and Gideon said to God, don't be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry on the fleece, and let all the ground there on the, that it be dew on the ground. And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. So see, that's a leading by the outward, by the flesh. Remember, that's the, what covenant? Old covenant. See, God was dealing in mercy back there. He still needed to get his job accomplished, so he had to work with people with signs out here that they could see, because they didn't have this inward witness, the Holy Spirit within, that the Holy Spirit would come upon the king, the priest, and the prophet. And that was how they were guided by what they said. Judges, there was no kings. There was no priests. There was no prophets. God was looking for somebody to hear. He had to, somebody hear my voice. Gideon, at least he needed a fleece, but he was hooked on that fleece. He was hooked up with God. God said, I can use this. Old covenant. Old covenant. God worked with what he had, right? If somebody be willing and obedient, he found somebody willing and obedient. It just took a fleece a couple times, but God worked with that. That's okay. That's old covenant. But now, and you see, the anointing came upon the king, priest, and the prophet, but Gideon was not either one of those. But God still used him, right? All he needs is somebody willing. Willing. We need to get us a t-shirt. I'm willing, and put it on our back, right? Lord, I'm willing. I am willing. We don't need a t-shirt. We just need to let him know we're willing, Lord. Speak it. We're not guided by fleeces. As New Testament believers, we have been made. See, back in the old covenant, the anointing came on the king, priests, and the prophets. But in the New Testament, look in Revelation. Flip all the way to the back real quick. We'll go to the front, to the back. Guess what? Jesus is in all of it. He's the Alpha and Omega, right? But we're in the new. We're not in the old. And one time, Jesus talked about trying to put a new patch on an old garment. I'm looking at Colette again because she knows about sewing things and putting things. You try to put a new patch on an old garment, what's going to happen, Colette? Yeah, it ain't going to match. It ain't going to fit. Because he talked about you can't put new wine in old wineskins. You got to have a new wine because it'll burst the bottle. What he was talking about was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit can't be put in an old man. It's got to be put in a new man. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have become new, and all things are of God. New Testament believers, we have been made kings and priests. Revelation chapter 1 shows us. Verse 6. Verse 5. Verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and him who was, and him who is to come. I like that. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Say faithful witness. We're talking about the inward witness. Now, he's a faithful witness. He is faithful. You ask anything according to his will, new covenant, he's a faithful witness on the inside of you by the Holy Spirit. You will have whatsoever you ask. He's answered it, but then there's a time frame there. Sometimes there's a process. There's a process. Don't give up on the process. Trust in the Master. Trust in his witness. Trust in his ability, his power. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There it is, the blood of Jesus, not the blood of cows and bulls. And because of that blood that we remembered him this morning, he has made you kings, plural, priests, plural, to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is the King of kings, and he has made you one of his kings. That's an awesome title to have. Don't let nobody strip you of it, right? Because Satan's already been stripped of his power and authority. And God set us back in our kingship here on the earth. Now, he's the King of kings. He's the King of glory. So he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, forever making intercession for other kings and priests and prophets. They're still in the church too, in the new church, New Testament church. That's who we are right there, Larry. We're kings and priests unto God. Not to each other, but unto God. He has made us kings and priests. Today, God speaks to believers directly. Directly. Direct connect. There's no static. Go back to the old black and white antenna days. You remember Cecil getting up there, you're trying to watch Howdy Doody? Or you're trying... I don't know. I'm thinking... I think Howdy Doody is one of the movies, ain't it? I don't remember watching it so much as Leave It to Beaver and Andrew Griffin and My Father Knows Best. That was black and white. But if you didn't get a good picture, somebody had to go up there and Hold it right there. Don't move. No, a little bit. Get the aluminum foil out. Wrap them up a little bit. Get that aluminum foil, put it on the antennae. Thank God we don't have to stand there and try to figure out where God's at now. We don't have to turn and move and he's static and we can't hear him, we can't see him. No, we can know that when we pray, he hears. And when he hears, that we have the answer. The petition that we ask is yes. This it is not in the Bible that says sometimes God says yes, sometimes it's maybe, and sometimes it's no. My Bible says all the promises of God are what? Yes, yes and amen. Where'd they come up with, well, it's a maybe. Well, you know, God didn't heal you today. Well, maybe he's waiting. No, he ain't. He's waiting on you to believe. He's waiting on me to believe his promises. Now, if we get out of his promises and get into the flesh, thinking, well, this is the way it's supposed to happen, then we're out of the promises of God, and you're going to be waiting. I'm going to be waiting. Anybody's going to be waiting if they're praying not according to the will of God. If they're not hearing that divine witness, that inward witness on the inside, that's where we get off, not God. God's faithful. He's the faithful witness. Jesus said, I do nothing except I hear my Father tell me to do it. And he did it. And when he did it, he had 100%, how would you say that, ratio, 100%. All the time. Now, that doesn't mean everybody received, but all that came to him received. All that came to him in faith received. Amen. Today, God speaks to us directly. We have a direct connect to the throne of heaven. See, Jesus is not down here. He's in heaven. The Holy Spirit is with us now. So there's a direct connect. And he's on the inside of us, those that are born again. And if you listen to this message and you're not born again, we can help you. Jesus can help you there too. All you got to do is plug in. Believe that he is. Believe he was who he said he was. Believe he did what he said he would do. And he rose from the dead. And you trust in that. And you ask for him. You're born again. That's all it takes. It ain't all these different steps that you got to come to. You just got to step into him. Whatever he says. He said, if you confess me as your Lord, I'll confess you before the Father. Lord, save me. That's what Paul said. What would you have me to do? We've got to follow this witness, not the flesh. That's going to be our toughest goal. Not hearing God's word, but following it. Because Paul said, I'm in this, how did he say it? He's in this strait between whether he wants to go on to be with Jesus or to stay here with us. He was in a strait between two. To be with Christ is far better, he said. But to stay here is going to profit me, profit you. I'm glad he stayed because he left us a lot of good things in his word. And he had revelations from the master. And see, that's where Paul laid down what he wanted. He was ready to go on. He was kind of like, Lord, I've ran a pretty good race here. I think I'm ready. But he said, nah, I think there's a little bit more I can do. See, they took his head. Paul really gave it to him. Because, see, until he was ready, they wouldn't have took him. Jesus would have got him out of that prison if he needed to. Paul wasn't ready. But his course came to an end. And he felt, he knew that he had finished his race and ran his course. He had that peace. He had that inward witness that had been leading him from all the way back to the Damascus Road experience. That's how he started his relationship with the Lord, and that's how he ended it. He knew, before he was beheaded, he knew, I'm done. And he was ready. And he left this earth and entered into glory. So to follow this witness, let's go to the book of Proverbs. And this goes right along with Romans, that those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20, 27. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. What do you do when you search for something? What are you doing? You're looking for something. Is that how you're led? You're following something? You're looking for something? You're being led by something, or you're looking for something, right? Following this inward witness, the spirit of man is the candle, or you could say the lamp. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. You don't have to turn there, but Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Help me, a light unto my path. God will never lead us contrary to what he said in his word. So if we're battling sickness, God said, I sent my word and I healed you. So see, sickness is not leading me. Sickness is not bringing glory to God, right? Because God's not leading me in sickness. He's leading me in his word. Jesus said, I am the word. I am the truth. I am the life of God. There's no sickness in that. So sickness is not going to lead you or to be a great testimony for God. No, walking in health is going to be a good witness for you for God, right? That'll help a lot of people right there. Because see, God is looking, and he's leading by his word. That's how we're going to be led. It's like a flashlight, his word. So if you don't have the batteries in the flashlight, click, click, and you're camping out in the woods and it's dark, you're in trouble. Jesus said at one time to some virgins that were wanting some oil in their lamps, 10 virgins prepared because they knew darkness was coming. And they prepared early, but the others, they were lazy. And when the time came where it was dark, the ones that had prepared and were ready, they had oil in their lamps. And the other 10 were like, hey, can we have some oil for our lamps? I'm like, sorry, got to go. And they were left in outer darkness. Jesus said, be ready, be prepared. Have your oil. The oil is the Holy Ghost, the anointing. He's the power, that anointing. That oil represents the Holy Spirit. And we are not without God in this earth. We have him on the inside of us. And he's there to guide us and direct us. We should never be in darkness. And if we are, if there's some darkness in there, Jesus talked about how great is that darkness. There's a way out. The light is the way out. The light is the escape. It's the way out of that darkness. What is the light? Jesus is the light. What is Jesus? He is the Word. So if we have the Word on the inside of us, if we have our batteries in our flashlight, and they're good batteries, right? Can't be dead batteries. Some people ain't preaching the gospel. Paul mentioned them many times. There was false brethren come in saying the resurrection had already passed. We read that, know that? Well, if Jesus has already passed, I have no hope. I have no future. See, that was a false doctrine, trying to take away their hope, trying to put their light out. But Jesus is the light of the world. And he said, when I'm coming again, you're going to see me. You ain't going to have to kind of strain to think, is that Jesus coming? When he comes the second time, we're not going to see him because we're going to be with him. Amen? We're going to be riding with him. But the world is in darkness because the Holy Ghost is there no more, because we've been taken out of this world. They're going to see us coming. And they're not going to have to guess on who it is. Because the church has been here proclaiming him for 2,000 years that he's coming. And a lot of people don't believe it, went to the grave not believing it. And there's some, they're going to come out of that grave and they're going to confess that Jesus is Lord. But it's going to be too late. They're going to confess him, but he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because you didn't believe. We had that opportunity, right? Hallelujah. We are not ones that fall back. We are not ones that don't know God. There's an inward witness. There's a Holy Ghost on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit, who is there to lead us and guide us to the truth. In all truth. So if you're in confusion, if you're in a state of confusion, you don't know what to do in this situation, that's not God leading you. That's the devil bringing confusion. You get into the Word. You seek for that peace. You get in here and seek. And Lord, I need a direction. I need a counsel here. I need to know what to do. And you'll find it. You'll be looking through here, and then all of a sudden you'll have a bright light. You'll have that word will be illuminated, and the Holy Spirit will say, this is the way. This is what we need to do here in this situation. It might be pray. It might be fast. But it won't be confusion. It'll be his word, what he has said. And if we do that, we'll have success in this life. Amen. That is the way he leads us. And we're not to, Isaiah 28:16 says, he that believeth shall not make haste. There's rest when we believe and hear what God said. There's a rest there. Enter into that rest, to that peace, trusting God that he is faithful to his promise. He's the faithful witness, and I'm trusting you, Lord. But then yield to his time frame. Don't make haste. Don't get in a hurry. Don't try to make something happen in your life or somebody else's life. Amen? Trust the Lord. Now, he's there to work good according to his promises. Amen? What he has spoken in his word, if he can get two, how can two walk together except they agree? If they get in agreement and God in the center, he'll make, things will work. Amen? It'll work out. And it's, Jesus didn't say it was going to be easy. On the way to the cross, on the way to Calvary, he didn't say it was going to be easy, but he said, Father, I'm praying that we be one. He prayed for that strength that all through this death on the cross, through everything that I do, Lord, that they're all going to come to know you as I have known you. And the love that you have shown me, Lord, is going to be displayed in my church. That's what he, that was what was driving Jesus to the cross. Is he saw the end of the story. He's seen all this wrapped up. But even Jesus doesn't know when that time is, but he knows it's coming because God told him. They agreed on this before all this destruction and death even came into this earth. They agreed that there would be a plan worked out, and he was the plan. And he has a plan for you, and he has a plan for me. And it's about knowing this inward witness. This is the main way God is guiding his church, his disciples, his believers, is through that inward witness. It can be a perception. A perception, I'm just going to throw some scriptures out here. Dallas, you don't have to go there. Peter, to Simon the sorcerer, said, for I perceive, here's that inward witness, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. That's Acts 8:23. Peter perceived that in that sorcerer. He knew that was not, he was not, that request that he made was not seeking the things of God. He was in bitterness. He was wanting something, and he was trying to receive something, and he had a wrong, his heart was all wrong. Peter also said in Acts 10:34, Peter, after this trance he was in, he says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. The Gentiles were getting ready to receive salvation. He was going to go preach to the Gentiles. God, he perceived, he knew, he had a knowing right then. And he'd been taught the law all his life. So he wasn't looking to his intellect. After Pentecost, he was now hearing from the inside. See, when Peter preached, talked about Joel, this is that, that came from the preacher. Jesus said, you know, Peter, he helped him in the boat that day catch all them fishes. I think Dallas went fishing last night. Did y'all catch anything, Dallas? 1, 2, 3. Three, Peter, when you go fishing with Jesus, you get boatfuls of catfish. If you let Jesus have your boat, if you let Jesus have your life, turn it over to him, he'll make you greater than what you are. So he took Peter, and Peter, man, they caught all them fish because Jesus sat. We talked about that earlier. He sat and taught in that boat. That was Peter's boat. The anointing, God was speaking out of Peter's boat. And after he got done preaching and teaching, he said, let's go on out and catch some fish. Let's go fishing now. Peter's like, Lord, it might not be in the same scenario, but Lord, we done put the nets up. We got everything dried and cleaned up. Lord, we're going home to rest. But he said, but at thy word. Something on the inside said, that intuition, that perception, and he wasn't even filled with the Holy Spirit yet. Wasn't born again, but Peter said, but at your word, he'd seen some signs out here. He's like Gideon. He'd seen Jesus doing some work. At your word, Lord. And he still didn't quite believe it, but he said, at your word. They went out. And they caught fish. And Peter hollered to his partner, hey, get over here. My boat's sinking. Some more come over there. The nets were breaking. Peter was a commercial fisherman. This was fine. This was money. This was money coming in. This wasn't just fish. This was money. We don't want money to sink to the bottom. We want to get it in the boat. Get it to the banker and get it into the kingdom. Right? This was the Lord's ministry. This was money coming into the ministry. God said, that's precious. Get them fish in the boat. But then on the day of Pentecost, see, but then I don't want to lead you. I'm trying to get to where Peter said, Lord, he caught all these fish, and he knew he didn't believe Jesus. He knew he wasn't faithful like his word, like Jesus is faithful. He just was trying to satisfy Jesus at his word. He didn't really believe that word. But when he saw what happened, he fell before Jesus. He said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy for you to be in my boat. Lord, I'm... And he comforted Peter. He restored Peter right then. He said, I'm going to make you fisher of men. Now, he didn't have the whole concept of that yet, but Jesus prophesied by the Holy Ghost. He spoke life to Peter. See, Peter was feeling unworthy. See, a lot of people think when they take the communion, they don't feel worthy to receive it. No, this is the life of God. This is poured out for you. Jesus restored Peter and said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. What you've seen today, be expecting men to come into your life and be born again. That happened on the day of Pentecost after he preached. That was the preacher that come out. That prophecy came into fold that day when Peter stood up and said, we ain't drunk like you suppose. We ain't been in here drinking wine. We've been in here getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And started preaching, speaking in tongues, giving interpretation of what was being spoken in tongues. Said, this is that. What the prophet Joel said, in the latter days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all the fish. Amen. 3,000 people got born again. That's a lot of people. See, God, Jesus was faithful to Peter. I'm going to make you fishers of men. His first fishing trip, he got 3,000. Praise God. That's a catch right there. Where are the fish? We preach, where's them fish at? We got to get out there and find them. Let God do the cleaning. We don't clean them, right? We just give them the bait. We give them the word. We give them the gospel. That's what cleans them up. It cleans them from the inside out, not from the outside in. So we don't worry about what they look like or what they smell like, right? Because fish don't smell too good, especially after they've been in that bucket for a few days and you forgot to clean them. You might as well just dump that one and start over. Thank God he doesn't start over with us, right? He takes us just as we are, dead, stinking flesh, and puts his life on the inside of us. Makes us a new creation in Christ Jesus. And it starts by knowing this inward witness and being led by him. Also, this perception, Paul on Mars Hill said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. See, Paul being led by this inward witness to know how to preach and how to minister to others. But remember also, when Jesus met Paul on Damascus Road, and then he went to Ananias and got received his sight, Ananias laid hands on him, and Paul received the Holy Ghost, that he took 3.5 years on a vacation. He went camping for 3.5 years in the wilderness and had a Jesus come to meeting in the wilderness for 3.5 years with the Holy Ghost. Jesus personally speaking to Paul, mysteries that no man had ever heard except Jesus, revealed these things to him, and then Paul came back preaching that gospel. See, the church, Jesus told them 120 to tarry here and wait. See, Paul had to wait too. After he wasn't there on the day of Pentecost. So after that Damascus Road, he had to go spend some time with Jesus. Hallelujah. He was on the earth 3.5 years with his disciples, right, in the ministry. Do we think Paul had to do anything less? He spent 3.5 years in the wilderness with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. See, the time that he persecuted Jesus, now he was at his feet, being filled with his spirit, wisdom, and mysteries. God is no respecter of persons. That's what he showed Paul that day. I'm no respecter, Paul. If you love me and want to serve me, let's go camping. Camp out in the wilderness. Paul returned after that wilderness in the power. Just like Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he told the devil everything you needed to do, three things, Jesus returned in the power. See, resistance. He was out there testing, going against darkness. Darkness going against light. Resistance brings power, right? See, Jesus went there full of the Holy Ghost, resisting everything that the devil had. Full of power. It brought power. When we resist evil, we have the power of God to operate in his kingdom. We've got to resist. Submit ourselves to God in his word and resist. And then we start becoming bright. The glory, that light bulb. That's how these lights come on. You turn the switch, you got power going through a resistor, and it's resisting, and it brings light. So when tests and trials come, they're not coming from God because He's light, right? It's coming from the darkness to try you, to test you. If you have the Word of God on the inside of you, you're going to shine. Say, I want to be a 100-watt bulb. I don't want to be a 30-watt. I don't want to be a 60-watt. I want to be a 100-watt bulb for Jesus. Hallelujah. We might just have a preach on that one day. Never thought about it that way. Amen. I'll take the 100-watt. Thank you, Father. We're going to stop right there.